Always pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. My oldest daughter, Hannah, some of you might remember her, former employee of this institution and graduate. When she was born back in 1980, in a prayer time that I was having, the Lord and I were talking about what his plans for my daughter might be in her life as she grew up as his child. And those of you who are parents, you know what those desires are for your child to grow up with a godly heart, to love the Lord Jesus with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, to live their lives dedicated to his purpose at living out the gospel and proclaiming the good news of God's forgiveness and life to her family, to her friends, and to her world. As I was talking with the Lord about the kind of woman that I believe God wanted for her to grow up to be in her character, I began to think too of the man that she would meet someday and fall in love with and get married to. And I began to ask the Lord, what is it that you would want in the character of that man? And I began to journal some things down. And at the end of that prayer time, I wrote that out and said, Lord, this is what I pray for my daughter Hannah, that she would not only be this woman of God who loves you with all her heart, but that you would send into her life at the right time the man that has this character in his life. And Lord, I know that I am, as much as I desire this for my daughter to be true for the rest of her life by your grace, I know that I'm going to stumble and fall. And even though this is my heart's desire each and every day as I come before you in prayer, there's probably going to be a few days that I forget. So Lord, I'm going to sign this and date this and seal this in an envelope and stick it in my Bible that I still use today. This is my waiting prayer, Lord. On Hannah's wedding day to Marcos, who in our family is nicknamed Orchid Boy, because our first time we met him on the campus university that they attended in Michigan, he ate the orchids on the table. But on their wedding day, which is now 9 years ago, we opened up that waiting prayer. And to be honest with you, I was just in tears because everything that I had prayed and asked God that I believed was in his will for that man, my son-in-law, Marcos. What was on that card written so many years earlier exactly described Marcos to a T. As I said, Hannah is now married 9 years to Marcos, who loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind. What a great man of God he is for her. And to that union, God has blessed them with my three grandsons, Samuel, who's 4, who thinks he's about 12. My grandson, Aaron, who's 3. Who insists that he be able to do everything he wants to do, when and where and how he wants to do it. And my latest grandson, Elijah, 3 months old, who this grandpa says is trying to sing on pitch when grandpa sings with him a song about Jesus, even though he can't speak yet. St. Paul comes to the close of his first letter to the Thessalonians. And he simply writes, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks to God in all circumstances. And I don't know about you and which English version of the Bible that you're reading, but praying continually, some English translation says, pray without ceasing. And as you read that simple phrase in that simple verse, as St. Paul is concluding his first letter to this church in Thessalonica, you say, how am I going to live that out? Praying without ceasing. Praying continually. And at first it sounds like Leviticus 19, be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. We say, yeah, we should be. We love Jesus, we want to be, but it's not going to happen. Pray without ceasing. What about sleeping? How do I keep praying? When I've got to do my assigned task, how do I keep praying? How do I do it? How do I pray without ceasing? The Greek word here for unceasing or continually, depending on which English translation you read, is adialectos. The root word means to forsake, means to be left behind, means to desert. When you break down and put that all the parts of that word together, it means don't forsake, don't leave behind, don't forget to pray. Charles Spurgeon once reflected on this text in a sermon, and he said this. He said, when the Lord says, be filled with joy, the only way that happens is when you are continually praying, entering into the Lord's presence and abiding with Him. And the only way that we grow a grateful heart that's thankful for what the blessings that God's pouring out is continually praying and watching God as God works and moves as we pray. Here's this verse, this portion of a verse that sounds so law. Pray continually. And in our good Lutheran guilt, we're going to give it our best shot, but we know we're going to fail. What must God think about us because we're not praying all the time? But how could it be law if St. Paul sandwiches pray continually between be joyful always and give thanks in all circumstances? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sounds like it must be gospel to me, this invitation to come before the Lord at all times. Don't ever forget to pray. Keep on praying. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is coming to your mind, to be in conversation with God. Think about it this way. Now, I know how much sleep you got last night, but if somebody nods off in what I'm about to ask you to do, please nudge them so they can go to lunch when chapel's over. But I want you to close your eyes for a second. Go ahead, close your eyes. And I want you to be conscious of your breathing. Take a deep breath in and a cleansing breath out. Do that once again. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, open your eyes. Do you ever think about your breathing? Most of us don't, unless you have some lung disease of some sort where breathing is a struggle, like COPD or something like that, that one of my shut-ins have in my congregation. We don't think about it. But do you know that the average healthy adult breathes 15 times a minute when they're at rest? That's 900 breaths in an hour. That's 21,600 breaths in a day. That's 151,200 breaths this week. In the next year, that amounts to about 7.8 million breaths. And if you lived to the gracious age of 80, you will have taken in approximately 629 million breaths. And yet we do that without thinking, don't we? It just is a part of our life. For those of you who are a little more technically savvy, you know that your computer ends up running slower and slower because every time you add a new program, they've got something else running in your background taking up some of your RAM. You don't see it. You don't know, but it's always running in the background. For me, those are two wonderful pictures, though, of what praying continually looks like. I'm just walking with Jesus on my journey with Him to heaven. And as we prayed earlier this morning, if my friend is without a job and looking for work, I talk to God about that. When I get news like I got 2 weeks ago of my former prayer partner who's been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer and he's got less than 20% chance of surviving, I begin to pray. Pray is not the added burden that is to be heaped on to studies and work and responsibilities. It is simply the way we go through life and living as a child of God, sharing our life with Jesus. Brother Belton and I are here today on your campus to encourage you in your prayer life and in life in ministry, that prayer ministry becomes a part of your ministry too. We're here for the rest of the day, and we'd love to have an opportunity to spend some time with you. But we pray for you today that God would be always on your heart, always on your mind, and always in your conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.